The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yitzchak Silber, dayan and author of The Code of Jewish Conduct, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havar Halacha Center. Maseches Bava Kama has been graciously dedicated by Rav Tzvi Reisman and family, Le'ilui Nishmas, his esteemed father, Harav Yehoshua Heschel Reisman, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. May the Torah studied through this volume be an Eloi to his neshama.
Bava Kama, Perek HaMeniach, Daf Lamed Dalad.
What will happen if I damage my friend's used clothing, his glasses? Nobody needs his glasses. Until you find somebody with the same prescription, it'll take you a while. Nobody needs his used glasses. What happens if I damage one shoe? And he tells me, oh, well, I have a pair of shoes which costs $150 and you damaged one of them, please pay. And I say, no, I only damaged one shoe. One shoe has absolutely no value in the marketplace. Who needs one shoe? Your used suit, who's going to buy that? Pennies. Your glasses, maybe you could find someone to buy them on Erev Purim. Probably not. But so these things have no or very little market value. However, this poor fellow who sustained the damage has to go now and buy a new suit. True, he's been wearing this suit for a year and a half, but he wasn't thinking of buying a new suit for another year. Now he has to get up and go and buy another suit. Glasses? He was never dreaming of buying new glasses in the meantime. Now he's got to go and buy new glasses. So he has sustained some very heavy damage, but you say that has no market value. How do we value this kind of article, which has value only to its owner and not to anybody else? So the truth is, it's quite complicated in the poskim, but I could tell you what the Botei Din usually do. The Botei Din will usually, because he has sustained the damage, they will say that you do have to pay the damage that he sustained. That's how much it's worth to him. His glasses are worth so much to him. He paid $300 for them. How much are they worth to him today? He's been wearing them for a year. He would be glad to get new glasses for free. How much would he pay for new glasses? Well, he has these, so why should he buy new ones? How much would he pay for these? Let's say somebody came along and grabbed his glasses and ran off with them. He comes out of mikveh and he sees his glasses gone. As he steps outside, he sees a guy selling them outside the mikveh. How much do you want for these glasses? They're mine. He sees he's not going to get his glasses back from the guy, and he doesn't know how the guy got them, but he wants his glasses. How much would he be willing to pay for his glasses? That's how much they're worth. How much are they worth now that you've trodden on them? How, put them straight, whatever, new glasses? That's how much they're worth. How much they are worth for him. In other words, the monetary value that these glasses have for the Nizik himself. Even though the value in the marketplace would be a lot cheaper than that, you will have to pay how much the loss that he sustained as a result of your vandalism, arson, your damages, even if you did it accidentally. The main raya for this is a Gemara in Gittin, that if a Yid brings a Korban Nadova, once you've done the Zrikas Hadam, once its blood has been sprinkled on the Mizbeach, it has no value to anybody else besides the owner, the one who brought it. If a Kohen would be Mazik that Behemah, would damage that Behemah on purpose, he would have to pay a new Behemah to the owner, a brand new whole behemoth to the owner, or he has to pay him the price of a full behemoth in the street. Now, this animal is useless and worthless to anybody else because it's only Reuven's Korban Nadova after the Zrika. But because it's worth to Reuven, therefore you will have to pay the market value of a new behemoth. I've taken this from the Chazon Ish, from the Stipler, from Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Fischer, and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. What would be the din if somebody comes along and says that you think you damaged just one cup Well, I'll tell you what you did. You damaged a cup from a set of six. And the set of six cups with one broken has depreciated quite a lot in its value. It's not like when damaging just one cup. Damaging one cup is $5, but a set of six is worth $100, and damaging one of them is a loss of more than $17. So I want the more than $17, but the Mazik says, but I only damaged one cup. He says, but what do you mean? I have sustained a loss of not $5, $6, I have sustained a loss of $20. So pay me $20. Who is right? The same might be you damaged a volume of a set of books. He's got a shas, a Rambam. You damaged one volume of the set. One volume costs 40 shekel. A whole set costs each volume in a whole set, which is it's damaged the whole set. The damage is a lot more than just 40 shekel. It might be 300 shekel. So who's right? The answer over here is that the mazik is right. Because it's true, it's a bit like Groma, it's true that your set depreciated in value as a result, but I didn't damage the whole set. I just damaged one volume. I didn't damage the whole set of cups. I just damaged one cup. And therefore, I will only pay you the damages of one individual cup. That your whole set depreciated in value, I don't have to pay for that. I also don't have to pay for the pain that your grandmother has, who bought you this shas for your bar mitzvah, and she's sitting there crying because someone's damaged one volume. I don't have to pay for that either. I don't have to pay for any other cause. Because I damaged it, you had to go and buy a new one at short notice for double the price and taxi there and taxi back. All of that is groma. I don't have to pay. I only have to pay what I damaged. I damaged one volume. I damaged one cup of the set. That's all I will pay. One shoe. Will we say the same about a shoe? If that is correct, what I've just said about damaging what will be with a shoe? A shoe will be different, because nobody buys one shoe. If you don't believe me, you could try stepping inside a shoe store and begging the man who sells to sell you one shoe, a left one or a right one. Try to see what happens if someone comes home and finds that the shop has packed him two right shoes or two left shoes. Nobody buys one shoe. Shoes are used in a set. It's like a pair of scissors that are called a pair of scissors, which people used to, and some of them still are, detachable. You can buy technical equipment that might have 15 pieces or even 1,500 pieces. They are not looked at each as individual pieces, because they're used both of them together, they are bought and sold both of them together, and therefore when we estimate their value, we will estimate the value of a shoe as in relation to a pair of shoes, unlike a set of cups or a set of books. What about something that has a sentimental value? We have in the family our great-grandfather's walking stick. Every time someone is nifta and leaves behind this walking stick, it becomes a big fight between all the inheritors who gets this stick. Family heirloom. Does it have monetary value? You could leave it next to the garbage, because no antique shop and no second-hand shop need this stick. But what it does have is a sentimental value. You have a book, a sefer which is 150 years old, that's been in the family. It's got all the family tree written in the back cover, written piece by your ancestors. It has sentimental value. How much, someone damaged it, how much does he pay? He does not pay sentimental value. However, if this walking stick is worth, let's say, $100 at the antique store, even though your sentimental value is a lot more than that, you will be able to get $100 for the damage. If this sefer with the family tree written in the back, 150 years old, is worth $100, you'll get $100. But the extra sentimental value you will not get. However, if, let's say, by now, this sefer from 150 years ago with a family tree he has already 200 descendants, and all of them are interested in getting acquiring this sefer. Had someone found it in a Seamus box in Uruguay and brought it here, these 200 descendants would bid one against the other, and he'd be able to get $10,000 for this sefer. So then it has a marketable value of $10,000. That's not just sentimental, that's real value. So you will pay damages real value, but you will not pay damages sentimental value. Okay, I was walking down the street with my old suit, and somebody threw something down from his balcony and filthied me. I run upstairs and I say, you now have to pay me the $30 dry cleaning bill of this suit. And they tell me, what are you talking about? We're Talmid HaChomim, we've learned the halacha. You estimate the value of your suit before we damaged it and the value of the suit after we damaged it, and we'll pay the difference. How much is a second-hand old suit, your shabby old suit, worth? How much was it worth before it was dirty? How much is it worth after it was dirty? Very little difference, if any at all. That's what we will pay. And he says, you have to pay me the cleaning bill. Who is right? The same thing could be the other way around. You threw out the window a moldy apple, and it landed downstairs on the Shtreimel, on the new clean Shtreimel that one of the Mechutonim had just bought for this week's Chasna on the way to the Eifruf. You've now, he says that this is a $3,000 Shtreimel, and now with this moldy apple mark bang in the middle, it is worth only $1,500. You must pay me $1,500. And the fellow who threw the apple out the window says, I'm terribly sorry, I understand Adam Moed L'Olam, and I have to take responsibility for the damage I've caused. Give me the Shtreimel, and I'll have it cleaned for $30 by an expert cleaner. It'll look the same thing when he's finished as it looked beforehand. Who is right? The owner of the Shtreimel says, no, the halacha is you have to estimate the value before the damage and after the damage, and I want the difference. Well, the truth is that if you go through Shas and Rishonim and Achronim, you see there's hardly any makor, hardly any sources which would suggest that you have to pay for cleaning. There is a Tosfos in Nida and a Meiri over there, in Nida Daf Nun Ches. However, when you get to the people like maybe the Ramah, the Shach in two places, the Nasivus, you do see that there is certainly a Mekoiris, and the Din would be, until you get to the Orach HaShulchan, he says that it is Poshet and plain, it's a Dova Poshet, that if it's possible for the Mazik to repair the damage, he has to repair it. So he will be asked to repair it in the case of dry cleaning the very old shabby suit. He will be told he has to clean it, even though that's the cost of cleaning is more than the depreciation in the value. He will also be offered the choice of cleaning the Shtreimel, even though the dirt being dirtied was more depreciation value than the cleaning costs. What happens if I break a window in your house and you tell me, right, that's $50, can you please repair this break? And I tell you, what are you talking about? Your house is worth $350,000 without a broken window and the same $350,000 with the broken window. Why should I give you $50 to fix the window? I have not caused you any damage. You say, but what do you mean? I have to go now and fix the window. I say, well, that's maybe grommo or something like that. Do I have to pay the for fixing this window, or do I not have to pay this fixing of the window? So the Chazon Ish and others write that a house is not up for sale in the Beis Yitzchok. A house is not up for sale. A house, you have to pay the damages. If I stole karakois, had I stolen your house or your field, and I give it, and I was mazik it, and then I give it back, I will have to give it back in a repaired state, in the same state as when I stole it. A house is not up for sale. If I have damaged your house, I cannot say let's estimate the value beforehand and afterwards. I have to repair the damage. And another interesting thing would be, what would be if the fixing the, when I broke the window, the prices of fixing windows was $50. Now it's $80, or maybe the other way around. So if I would have to pay the estimated difference in value from before the damage and after the damage, as usually we measure Nizikin, that then I would pay you the difference at the time of the Hezek, as we said about the Menorah earlier on, or yesterday's Shia, that I would pay you the price of the damaged Menorah, but at the time of the damage, how much was it worth before and how much is it worth after? If silver went up in value or down in value thereafter, that's irrelevant. That was Birashus HaNizek. Over here, however, if the price of repair went up in value or down in value, then I will have to pay the price of the repair at the time of the repair. It would be interesting to know what the halacha would be in a case when it's impossible to repair and it has not depreciated the value. Maybe he had some antique bordering going round his doorway and we don't have those kind of experts who can repair it nowadays. So I can't repair it and it has not depreciated the value of the house. Would I pay or would I not pay? How would I pay? I don't know. Also, what would be in the case of a house which is Oymed Lemechira, a house which is up for sale, and you broke a window, so he tells you, yes, it is up for sale now, it's worth 350 before the break and after the break, why should I repair the window? You think that it's going to sell slower with broken windows, it looks neglected. What happens if it's very, very expensive to repair a damage? For instance, I broke your camera. There's a minimum charge of fixing cameras is $80. Nobody repairs cameras nowadays. People just throw them out and buy new ones. Would be interesting to know what the halacha would be in all of these things. An insured article. We had in our Gemara, Mazik Shibudoi Shel Chaveiroi and Groma Garmi, although we didn't want to speak too much about these things, or we'll see if there's time to speak about Hezek Shei Menika, what would be the din of an insured article? I smashed your car, I took a hammer and vandalized it. I say that you're insured. I've caused you no damage. You say to me, what are you talking about? I pay an insurance premium every year, a few times a year, and my insurance premium is like the betting office, that if I will ever sustain any damages, the insurance company will pay me back, will indemnify me the damages. So you have damaged me. You, Midin Mazik, have to pay me every penny of the damages you've caused to me. That which I have a way of getting back. So my grandmother also has a lot of rachmonos on me that my car is broken and she's given me an extra big birthday present this year to repair the damage. What's that got to do with you? You damaged my car, you must pay. Okay, he says, but no, damaging an insured car, he says, means that I haven't really damaged anything because there's no damages because whatever goes wrong will be repaired by the insurance company. There are at least three ideas in the poskim. Some say potter, some say chayev. The truth is you have to check the policy very well because usually in the policy the insurance company will only indemnify, meaning replace loss that you cannot be replaced from any other source. So if he is chayav to pay damages, many insurance companies will say to you, first sue him, and if you can't get the money off him, then come back to us. First take him to Beis Din, get your money. If you can't, then you're not insured. If you make a claim before you claim your damages from him, you're a ganav, you're stealing from the insurance company. Well, you better read your policy and work out what you're supposed to do and what you have to do. And accordingly, we'll see whether you can go to a rov and ask whether you can still claim damages from this mazik or not. This also, insurance is not such an old thing. So this also, the earliest tshuvas are people like the Or Sameach and the Hori Besomim or the Minchas Yitzchok.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Chabad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.